Broadcasting from the Washington, D.C. studios of the National Right to Life Committee, this is Pro-Life Perspective, America's pro-life voice. And now, here's National Right to Life President and Pro-Life Perspective host, Carol Tobias.
It is not very often that we have seen an article in the mainstream media that clearly and accurately outlines the scope and damage of the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision. An article written several years ago in the L.A. Times does both. Times Supreme Court reporter David Savage, using the then-recently released papers of Justice Harry Blackmun, traces the origins and the process that gave our nation Roe v. Wade. All week, as we mark the 39th anniversary of Roe, we've been taking a detailed look back on David Savage's in-depth piece, and today we conclude our discussion. The language for Justice Blackmun's original opinion would have struck down the law in Texas and the laws in 30 other states as well, but it apparently would have allowed states to revise their abortion laws. However, Chief Justice Berger knew that new appointees to the court would be joining them in the next term. He also strongly felt that the abortion laws in a majority of the states would be upheld by a 5-4 majority. Even with the new justices, Berger was apparently confident that the abortion decision would come down 5-4 in favor of state abortion laws. David Savage notes, "In retrospect, this proved to be a crucial time in the court's handling of the abortion issue." He shares a memo from Chief Justice Berger saying, "This is as sensitive and difficult an issue as any in this court in my time. Hence, I vote to re-argue early in the next term." Savage then writes, "But Berger miscalculated by seeking a delay. Had Blackmun's draft opinion been adopted, it would have left states free to prohibit abortions for non-medical reasons. However, Blackmun reluctantly joined Berger in seeking a delay, and the majority voted to put off a decision on the abortion cases until the fall." Blackmun spent the summer working in the Mayo Clinic's library in Minnesota. He researched the history of abortion in Persian, Greek, and Roman times. He also studied abortion laws adopted in the 19th century America and concluded that the bans were driven not by moral imperatives, but by the reality that before antibiotics, abortion, like other medical procedures, was dangerous. When Blackmun returned to Washington, he had a long draft. It was a thorough work of medical history, but short on constitutional law. It also was hazy on just when abortion would be permitted or prohibited. It was this draft that would be the basis for the final opinion in Roe. To this day, it has been argued by both sides in the debate that Roe has little to offer in terms of scholarly merit. But in terms of stare decisis, or court precedent, it has been argued by both members of the court and by pro-abortion sympathizers that Roe has an established history and should now stand as precedent. These same groups and individuals that support abortion have no ground to stand on except stare decisis. Polling data shows that they do not have the support of the American people, and even legal scholars at some of the most prestigious universities in the nation have argued that Roe was a badly written decision. In addition, since 1973, when the decision came down, science has made leaps in our understanding of life inside the womb. Roe is foundering on a shaky foundation, and we will one day see it overturned. Roe has left a legacy of pain and anguish for the women who have abortions. This decision usurped our rights as citizens to vote on this matter. Still, whatever Justice Blackmun's original design in writing Roe the way he did, he continued to support the decision in its entirety, even after its scope became better known and well established. For more information on the Roe ruling and abortion on demand in America, visit our website at prolifeperspective.com, and please join me again next week for more Pro-Life Perspective.
You've been listening to Pro-Life Perspective from National Right to Life, the nation's largest grassroots pro-life organization. For more information on today's episode and to get involved, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.